James chapter 4 verse 6. Let's be reading these scriptures, because it's a Bible study. James chapter 4 verse 6. What does it say? Hallelujah. But he giveth more grace. He said, the statement I'm referring here, wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud. God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God hates pride. In Proverbs chapter 6, if you read verse 16 and 17, there are six things that God hates, that are even abomination before the Lord. And one of them, among those six things in Proverbs chapter 6, hallelujah, is a proud look. A proud look. God hates it. Psalm 101, verse 4 and verse 5 also speaks about a high look and a proud heart. Can we read it? A high look and a proud heart. This is the way he put it, verse 4 and verse 5. He said, a froward heart shall depart from me. God is speaking. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso prevalent slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. That is, I will not permit him. I will not allow such to exist. And that is the position of many Christians. And people don't know that that is the reason that Satan was removed from his position. Ezekiel 28. Let's see Satan there. Ezekiel 28 from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him. And the king of Tyros here, it's a description of Lucifer himself, for that is the area he was dwelling at that time. After he has been thrown down, that's where he is, and the spirit is telling him why you are in the estate that you are in now. And said to him, thus said the Lord God, thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So anybody that draw the picture of Satan with a horn, with a mouth like one dragon, who is that? That's Lucifer. And see these Canaanites that say they are worshippers of Satan. They put something and draw and look horrible and put horn. Say, yes, we are church of Satan. We are worshippers of Satan. Now lie. You are not. It's another demon you are imitating. Your master was beautiful. Your master was made perfect, full of wisdom. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Hey, see beauty. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. He said, the workmanship of thy tablets and of their pipes was prepared inside of you in thee, in the day that thou was created. And that's how we know that he was the song leader, the worship leader in heaven. Inside of him, instruments of worship were made and put in him. Can't you see how those he anoints, how they sing in nightclubs? Michael Jackson? All of them? When Michael Jackson appears, you will see people crying. Oh, then he will just release one voice. Everybody is falling under anointing. That's where his inspiration comes from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 14, yes. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Kai. The closest to God. Of all the angels, the highest position in heaven was given to him. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Position wise, you were on top. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. What is the iniquity that was found in thee? Isaiah 14. Let's read it. Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Up to verse 14. It says, how art thou falling from heaven? From that position we see in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Where we just describing. How art thou falling from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning. See, description of his beauty. How art thou cut down to the ground? Which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, that is the iniquity that was found in him. I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Kai. Kai. And verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Pride. That's how he lost his position. I will. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 12. Another example there. The story of Herod. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Let's read it from verse 20. Up to verse 23. It says, and Herod, remember, if you know the story, that's, we are referring to, you know, Herod killed James. And when he noticed that it pleased the Jew, politician, like to do something that will command followership, including killing somebody. He grabbed Peter again to kill him. But when the church woke up from their slumber and interceded, the angel of the Lord came and removed Peter from his hand. Verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. That's another two cities now. He had finished that of Peter. He had finished that of James. He's now facing another group of people from Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him. And having made Blatos, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace. Because their country was nourished by the king's country. It was Herod's country that was taking care of them. So certainly he demanded worship from them. They came to look for peace when they noticed that he was not happy with them. And upon a set day, verse 21, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration, a speech unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, this is not an ordinary man. It is the voice of a God and not of a man. That is, he was there accepting worship. He was, when God is there, already they vexed with him for what he do for James. For what he attempted to do to Peter. And what he was doing to the believers. And immediately, verse 23, the angel of the Lord smote him. Because he gave not God the glory. And sitting down there, he was eating of worms and gave up the ghost. The king was sitting on his throne before the people that were worshiping him and worshiping and worshiping him. Instead of giving glory to God, he was saying he was not ordinary. He said he was a God. And you do that, you go too far. The angel of the Lord came down and smote him right there before the people. Instantly, worms ate him up. Would you fear this God? Psalm 49, verse 20. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perishes. Man that is in honor, you are in position of authority and you don't understand how you got there, who placed you there, who you are responsible to. He said, you are like the beast that perish. That is what God was sending to the whole world. When he turned such a man, Nebuchadnezzar, that was in honor, but did not understand that it's not by his power there. He turned him to, that God placed him there. God turned him to a beast, because that is who you are like. No, therefore, go and be like the beast. Go and live among them. That is the message he was sending. And don't just look at this. Every one of us, we display this pride in one way or the other so that we check ourselves. That's why James chapter 4, let's read it from verse 13, 14, 15, and maybe up to verse 16. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. And I've looked at this. I know, listen, church, very important, I make this clarification. There is a statement of faith. I have what I say. I have what I say. But let's understand it also so that we know how we say some of these things that we say in line with what Apostle James is teaching us. Verse 13. He says, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. And buy and sell and get gain. All of you, when they plan your life, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, this is how you are supposed to live your life and plan your life. This is how you say you should do it in verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What it's actually saying there is that, don't just say it as if you have the power over tomorrow. You have the power. Yes, I believe in planning. Mr. Fish came here and said he wrote down all he wanted to achieve. But after you have written down all you wanted to achieve, you must bring God into it. Even in your confession, you will always say, God willing, God willing, before the end of this year, I will be married. God willing, in 2 years' time, I will move into my apartment. God willing, that is what humility produces, because You have no power of your own. God owns you. God owns your future. God owns everything you will achieve on earth. If you put him out, he will let you know that he is the one that has the final say, not you. And that's why many people get frustrated in their lives generally. That's why we also learn in Luke chapter 16. He called him the rich fool. Luke chapter 12 verse 16. Luke chapter 12 verse 16. From verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. Get something here. See the emphasis here. I will. It's a satanic spirit. It's a Lucifer spirit. It's a spirit of pride. Take note. The first creature of God that displayed that demon of pride was Lucifer. And that spirit comes from him to possess any other person that is proud. This will I do. I will pull down my barns, verse 18, and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, not to God, oh, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, relax, eat, drink, and enjoy, and be merry. Relax, and I have enough, and relax now. I don't build this, I build that, and relax. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You are dying this night. Then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The emphasis there is that you rule out God out of your achievements. You rule out God out of your plans. God hates it. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. He said, likewise, you younger. He says, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and gave grace to the humble. And verse 6, you want upliftment, you want God to promote you, you want to shine, you want to make any attainment in life, achieve anything attainment in life. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under your pastor, under your GO, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hallelujah. Promotion comes from humility. And humility is not a posture before man. It's a posture before God. Humility is defined from your standpoint of your relationship with God. And anyone that will live your life, hallelujah, acknowledging God, it is not something, humility does not come by prayer. Humility does not come by fasting. You can never get a humble spirit from going to a mountain. In fact, amen. Okay. Humility comes by a revelation of who you are in relationship with God. The day you find out that God, who has lifted, only God can lift you to where you are, and that you acknowledge that it is God that has lifted you to be where you are in whatever achievement you have achieved, that day you will also know that that same God, by that same revelation, can pull you down. Therefore, you will tread carefully without God. And it is in every areas of our lives. There's an approach we look at life generally that produces automatic humility before God. And when you are humble before God, it will flow among men. You are making younger because you are pretty, you are beautiful. You are Miss Nigeria. You are Miss Oka. You are Miss Ezekenesi. You are Miss your village. All photographers are taking you. Did you create yourself? Continue to do that and not acknowledge God. And before you know what, there is American Idol. Abi? Nigeria has started their own. Nigeria Idol. Do you know what an idol is? An idol is a god. And God will be watching you. One acid only they will pour your face. Those photographers will never come near you again. Praise the Lord. One accident that you will have will reduce you to wheelchair. One horrible thing that God will just step aside and watch. Unknown to you, every aspect of your life, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. You will never acknowledge God for your two sights until you see a blind man. I say, use your hand and clap God. Your hands are complete now. You are making younger. Because you are always manicuring it. You do it. And then when they touch it, it's softer than bread. And so you are making younger. There are people that don't have hands. They were even born without limbs. Are you better than them? And then, for God to judge all of us that are complete, He will raise that person that has no limbs, preaching the gospel, giving God glory for being without legs, without hands. And the pictures are everywhere in the internet for you to see and have reason to humble yourself and serve this God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was the one that said, naked I came to this world, and naked I will go. All those who get very proud because of the things they have attained on earth, the type of car you ride, the type of house you live, the type of thing, and then you are so proud. When you die, finish, where do they put you? Yet, that's why he says that it is better to go to the house of money than to go to the house of feasting. Because when you go to any funeral you go, you learn more about life than when you go to where they are doing the main ceremony. The day of death is better than the day of birth. Because when they come to meet you, when you give birth to a child, Oh, congratulations. There's nothing anybody is learning there concerning life. But when they come for funeral, everybody remembers that one day I will be like this. But how many people learn? I hate pride. And I'm sure that hatred is by the Spirit of God. That's something I have never loved it. I don't associate that spirit. When it come near me, I resent it fully. All along. There is that nature that even me here, God had put inside of me. The office I occupied when I was in the Air Force, my rank was too small to be in that office. And I didn't even know the director that posted me there. I was not yet due for that office. As at that time, I didn't even know who he was. I thought they were just keeping me there for the person that left to go and come back. He went on course. So I get, when you come, I say, I beg, wait. Your guy is coming. I'm just holding forth for him because I did not qualify to be in that office. So I was working there. Until the person finished, they posted in a way. That was what I said. Now, permanent posting me this for 4 months after. Before I went to look for the organ, I said, sir, I'm the one in this so place, office. He said, yes, I know. I said, I'm sorry, sir, I've not come to see you. I thought it's temporary. He said, did the posting instruction say temporary? I said, I was confused, sir. Then I came back. I said, so this is permanent. My wife is here. She can testify to this. I kept saying, I am not supposed to be here. I have my seniors in the military. Your seniors, your junior does not head juniors. I had 4 officers under me in various units that were my seniors. But I always acknowledge that. I said, I don't understand. I am from the north. The director is a Yoruba man. And I have never met him. So how did he see my name and posted me there? I said, no. Well, I said, no, God put me here. And it's for a reason. And that guided how I walked in that office. Praise the Lord. My wife is here. When I had problem and I had to go, and things were happening, I told my wife, I said, I don't understand what is happening, but let my wife, I said, notice between me and God, that knows all things, in that office, I was in charge of finance of the Air Force here in Lagos. I said, I have never taken a bribe from anybody. And I never took money that belonged to the people and converted it to myself directly or indirectly. If anything at all, I fought for all my soldiers to have everything statutorily that belonged to them. They will fight me at the headquarters. I will fight for them. They had everything that was they were entitled to. I was in charge of keeping the funds of the Nigerian Air Force Medicals. And I knew the nonsense they were doing. A small boy of 20-something years old. I said, there were money for them to buy drugs for the soldiers. They were, stealing it. I was in charge. The old guy will come and say, divide their location into two. Half is going to his personal pocket. And we will sign it. And I was feeling that was wrong. I went to a higher old guy and said, sir, I need a cover from you. I am sending a signal to the whole Air Force that any soldier that goes to the hospital and they prescribe drug for him and there's no drug in that hospital and goes to buy it outside, that their commander should send the receipt to my office. And throughout the 4 years I occupied that office, throughout, the whole soldiers in the Air Force, anyone that went to buy drug, they will forward it to me. The first time it happened, and when the allocation came, I tear all the ones that they bought drugs that I had one side, and send signals immediately that the pay officer should come and collect money for their soldiers as a refund. And when I went to the Oga, I said, sir, this is what is left. He said, I said, don't comment. I said, no. I said, you see the order now. The order came from above. So we have to obey it. Immediately I left, that thing stopped. The stealing continued. I never, all the contractors I was paying them, I never know any contractor face to face. You did not need to come to my office to get your check. The order was, as it is reaching, you are getting your money the very next day. You don't need to come and see me for anything. So I cheated nobody. I told my wife, I said, what is happening? I don't understand. I don't know what is happening with all the connection I had. I said, still I say, God's hand is in this matter. Now we know why I left. Now you know why I left. Praise the Lord. What will I be proud for? Where will I? Who am I? Who is my father? Which connection did I have to occupy that position? I'm saying it because somebody is listening to me now. That you live your life as if your achievement is by your own power, including the degrees you have. God gave you the brain to read and pass. And there are people that have better brain, but they don't have the opportunity you have. So in every aspect of your life, you have to acknowledge it. Acknowledge God that I am who I am today by His grace. That's all God wants. I am where I am today by His grace. Naked I came, and it is certain. Apostle Paul said, you came here with nothing, he said, and it is certain you are leaving this earth with nothing. Would you think over that? You are wealthy. It is God that gives thee power to make wealth. Therefore, in all thy ways, what did he say? What did he say? Acknowledge God. Amen. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge Him in everything. Any good thing around you. Any good thing around you. Any good thing around you, including your health. It is not because, well, how are you healthy like this? What did they take? What did they take? Then you say, me, water therapy. I drink water. Some will say, it's garlic. I chew garlic every time. You go chew the garlic now. Very soon, somebody will come and ask you, this sickness, what happened to the garlic where you chop? Then God will make sure, say, the garlic no work. The water therapy no work. So that you will know that it is not the water. It is not the medicine you are taking. It is not this. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so verse 37, what does it say? Verse 37. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 37 of Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37 is the conclusion of the matter. How did he put it there? He says, now, after everything, he has seen everything. After he came back again to himself. After he came back again to himself. Remember that the revelation said that he will not lose his office. He should still leave a stump there. So his son became the regent of, you know, the throne during those 7 years while he was there in the bush eating like animal. A king that was ruling the whole world, that had power to do and undo, kill and make alive. Hallelujah. Suddenly, the purpose had been achieved. Verse 37. Then he now says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That is the conclusion of the matter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Apart from what I'm trying to bring out, a spirit of pride, I am saying, why specifically 7 years? Why did he become a beast 7 years? And shortly after, his kingdom ended. It is because the Antichrist will be ruling for 7 years. And the Bible described him as the beast. So he's speaking about that beast. He's a beast that has no time for God. He claimed himself to be God and desires to be worshipped. It's the same spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. And God will allow him to exercise his beastly nature for 7 years, and his kingdom shall end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What? When Jesus Christ in John 14 verse 6 made a statement and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. That scripture also means, when you match it with what Apostle Paul spoke in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, referring to Christ, the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is actually saying, if you are going to live a life that is pleasing before God, copy me. I am the way. And what is the destiny of a Christian? Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. So, what are you going to use to measure your acceptability before God? Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. From verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. And I'll read that up to verse 13. Let this mind, that is your heart, your life, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Kai, see humility. Hallelujah. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Didn't he have power? In fact, he had power to speak everyone down out of existence. Did he? His disciple cut off the ear of one soldier that came to attack him. He told him, hey, stop that. Did he not take the ear and fix it back? Instantly the ear restored. He had the power. He has so much power that when he came out and he said, who are you looking for? Anointing, fling all of them down. All of them fell down with their weapon. Amen. But he knew he had a pathway to follow. Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your own will be done. What is humility? Humility is a state of heart where you subject your own will to God's will. That keeps you in a bondage, so that you can also speak like Apostle Paul says, I am a prisoner of Christ. He has the freedom to do all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Hallelujah. He has the freedom to do anything he wants to do, but he's bound by certain laws. He has a life to live pleasing before God. He has a God that he looks up to. So certain things he cannot do. There are a lot of things we allow for God's sake. I have power to deal with you, but for God's sake, I will not do it. I have power to send you to jail. But for God's sake, what do you mean by for God's sake? There is a consideration you are given. When you say for God's sake, you are not trying to say, God will deal with me if I do that. No. You are looking at yourself that you are also a beneficiary of mercy of God. There are things that I have been doing that God would have dealt with me, but he overlooked. For that sake, let me also overlook you. You see, so many of us have no indices that we use to live our lives. So we live a very, you know, meaningless life. You have no reason to forgive. Listen, the reason you should forgive somebody who has offended you is not because God has commanded you. It is because you too, you consider that you are a beneficiary of mercy. That's the reason. The reason why you help a poor man is because you were also once poor. So you understand what is going through. So you are not going to help a poor man so that the poor man will serve you. That is what makes you. It's not because the Bible says, I was poor, you clothed me, I was this. Because Bible says, no. If that is what you are going to live your life, there are so many things you don't know that are in the Bible that you will be living contrary to. So you should live a life by a consideration of your estate. That I am where I am today is by God's grace. Somebody was killing a brother, a Christian brother, disturbing him. What happened? Or they ended up in police station. Ended up anywhere. What happened? He's owing me 100,000 naira since last year. I said, baby, I need the 100,000 naira. I need the 100,000 naira now. And blah, 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 blah. So I said, brother, sit down. That day that you gave him that 100,000 naira, if armed robbers had come to you and robbed you and collected that 100,000 naira, what will you do? You don't give consideration to anything and then you'll be disturbing. And you know something about God? It is a principle that works. As you would that men should do to you, so you do so to men. Give, they shall be given unto you. People live a life and don't give considerations for anything. It's good. Moses, Psalm 103. Moses knew the ways of God. But Israel only saw his acts. Know this God. Know how to walk with him. You are not achieving anything in position by just prayers and fasting. If God's hand is upon you, whether you pray or not, hallelujah, you will remain where God has kept you. I am telling you that is a fact. So why don't you learn to know this God and know who he is? Why do you live your life full of craftiness? Full of craftiness. Full of craftiness. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 27. I'm coming to Philippians chapter 2 and I'm rounding up. I want to bring out something here. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 18. Let's read it. Listen very carefully to what this scripture says. It says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. And so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. He who keepeth the fig tree, because the fig tree produces fruits. So if you want to eat the fruit of it, what do? You take care of the fig tree. Nourish it. Nourish it. Because you know, at the appointed time, it will bear fruit that will feed you. I use that scripture to tell all the ministers. Amen. Because the greatest problem that we have is impatience. One of our ministers who has been here for so many years met another minister who was here but left and suffering outside there. By the time he left this ministry, my brother was still using palm slippers and two trousers and one shirt. But by the time he saw him on the road, he came out of his car, a clean Jeep. And that Jeep, either it's his second or third car. And that other minister now told him, he said, now wow, now the thing where we labor for, now that they enjoy now. And he told him, say, who drive you come out? This scripture comes to my mind. Amen. He that tended, how will you see a ministry like this? You walk with a man like this that is not selfish. You walk with a man like this. This church here, 50% of our monthly income goes on salaries and allowances of the workers and ministers. Even me myself, I receive allowance from the church. A minister that is not selfish, you are working with him and you don't see a future around him in that ministry, something is wrong with you. And while some of them are here working with me, they are thinking that those things that they are getting, it is from their smartness they are getting it. And they are walking behind and walking behind and walking behind and even finishing me. And before you know it, one by one, God will be plucking them off. Plucking them off. Plucking them off. Because they don't deserve this. And I have never had a meeting with any minister here to say, come and walk with me. Including my own son, Joseph. Did I ever tell you that you should come and walk in this ministry? I never do that. In fact, I was already getting a job that he was supposed to go and start according to the promise they promised me with EFCC. And the very week we were waiting for the letter to be delivered, he was sitting on the minister's seat here when the Ancient of Days visited him. He said the old man came. And I had given him money that he has registered for his master's in Nasarawa State University. So he was moving to Abuja. And we were telling them to post him to Abuja so that he can, you know, finish his master's there. So all his mind was in Abuja. Maybe he will have married one Fulani woman. He said the old man came to him while we were sitting down. He said, he didn't know. He said, he was wondering where the man came from. White all over, old. And told him, where are you going? This is where you are to be. He said, and turned back and walked and went away. He said, I noticed that nobody saw this man. Then he knew it was the angel of the Lord that came to him. And the next day he came to me and said, this is what experience he had. So, you know, walk. You know, go walk again. You will remain here. I say, I said, no, be me tell you to walk. He say, now God say make you stay here walk. He say, for here wahala deo. I not tell you say make you. He's here, he's listening to me. And I call my wife. I say, listen to him. Oh, I know. Tell her make you come and walk here. Oh, now you. So don't come and cry to me. Oh, for anything. Oh, praise the Lord. This is me now. Because I don't want to use my head to run a ministry that I know belongs to God. And this is no family business. The gift that he's designing, calling them, he's the first person that had that gift in this church. He's the first person. So if it's his family business, I would have been projecting. He would have had the meeting. I would have done them. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I was looking at him. When he comes for holiday, if you see Revelation, you go and tell them now. You know, come and sit down. Why? You are working with such a man and you don't see a future for yourself. You are, of course, they worry you. And each one of them, they leave. Do they get better after they have left? One thing or the other. Impatience. Pride. Some of them that left here, because of little grace that they receive here. Pride. You will hear them saying that who is Moses? They say it. And our members will hear, look at them. You are addressing your overseer like that. And that's why they talk now on his own. No? He's on his own. See what pride causes. Where are they today? And I'm always happy. I told some of them, I said, if you leave here and change the church and go to another church, I'm not always happy. But if you leave here and start your own, I am very, very happy. Because now you are going to the fire line. As you did, as you walk with me, that is how the people that will come will walk with you. It's a law. It's a law. It's a law. It's a law. Do all the yama yama, gidi people go gather all around you. As close as I was with one of them, he left. And all his evangelical field was Bride Assembly. He started his church at Ajawo Estate. One of the prophets. He left here on Tuesday. No, on Sunday. He told me he's leaving. I said he should come on Tuesday so that I would pray for him to go. I didn't see him. The next day was on Friday in the night. He went and printed his handbill. Came to Ijesha bus stop. As we are closing vigil, he was telling everybody with handbill, come, I don't go. Well, I learned that recently, another prophet in his church left also with half of the church. Praise God. Now, I'm not rejoicing because of that, but I'm rejoicing that scripture is fulfilled before my eyes. Praise the Lord. Why all this is pride. And I can say it to the glory of God. I say it, I repeat, to the glory of God. That nobody that has come to serve as a minister in this church, by the time you are leaving, that you did not get better than when you first came in here. With evidence to show. You became relevant because you were here and I projected you. And instead of you to recognize the source of your honor, you do like this. The God, see, he will pull you down. You live a life full of crisis, full of crisis, full of crisis. All your life, crisis, crisis, crisis. It is because you have no knowledge of how to live your life. You are not applying scriptures to yourself. That makes you a fool. That makes you foolish. At my age, if I don't know how to deal with human beings, I remain a fool forever. I think there's another that says a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Because by the time you reach 40 years, you should be able to have studied life and know which course of life to live. And yet, watch your life. Anywhere you go, there are two groups of people that exist even in this church. Why are you not able to have a lasting relationship with a fellow brother, a fellow sister? It's a character. Don't say anybody is a Christian because you see him in the church here. Do you understand? This is how you will know whether he's a Christian or not. Go and live with him first. or go and work for him or for her, where you depend on him or her for your salary, and see how you do, say, you know, see how he'll be treating you. And it is also the other way around too. When he employs you, then let's see how you will serve there. When you come to live with him, let's see how you will live there. A young girl will come and live with an elderly family and expect that the family will be cooking for him, will wash plate for you, will sweep your room for you, will wash for you. The next day they will give you quit notice. You caused it. Praise the Lord. They said, "This is a Christian brother, come and work for me," and you are there, you are cutting corners and cheating him. Or cheating her. You say, "Come and live with me in my house," then you come, you become the radio FM for that house. Everything happening in that house, the whole community, the whole church, everybody is knowing, plus the one where it even don't happen, you add on top, let the whole world hear what is happening. Praise the Lord. You know, something is wrong with you. And then, can't you see evidence something is wrong with you? You go here, it's the same problem. You leave, you go here again, it's the same problem. You go here, it's the same problem. "Pastor, I need prayer. There's a curse following me." You are the cause of that curse. There's nothing like a curse following you for your behavior. A curse does not make you live a life that makes you unacceptable to people. A curse does not affect your character. It is your character that reverses curses. And character can never be touched by any curse. Hear it loud and clear. If you cannot live with that man as his wife, any other man you go to marry, the same problem will be there. If you cannot live with that woman for your wife, if you live, go anywhere, that same problem will be there. Hey, husband that is every day threatening your wife. You threaten your wife, "I don't marry again." Do you know Christians make that type of statement? Any man that claims to be a Christian, and you wake up every day, you threaten your wife, "If you don't take that, go and marry another, I don't marry again." Shame on you. You are not a Christian. You are a disgrace to Christianity. They do that. Now, for a woman that tell a man, "I don't marry again. I don't marry. Let me tell you who you are. You are a fool. Now let me tell you. I said that man is a shame. Your own. You are foolish. You know why you are foolish? No man wants to marry second hand. Hold on to the one you have. Hold on. Hold on. If not, second hand. Any price. And why I say shame on you for the man is because you know she has nowhere else to go. You are taking advantage of her estate and you are tormenting her. Her God will deal with you. I am telling you this thing because you are misusing the power that you have. You are another Nebuchadnezzar. You are telling her, "Without me, you cannot, and you are threatening her because you are her cover. You are the one providing for her. You are everything to her, and maybe even to her family. Therefore, you are using that. Drive you away so that you think by that then she will follow you. In fact, you have a psychiatric case." I finished my reading in Philippians chapter 2. The mind of Christ. You can finish it on your own. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Can we stand up?